Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. We are going to go into some marketing, but before we get there, I believe it's probably best time to kind of cover the scale of liberty. And so anybody that has been familiar with the show, in my first book, I identify precisely what the scale of liberty is. And I break it down in the book that there are really only two paradigms. There's only two philosophies of the governance of man and how society rules itself. Now, there are really different forms of government, but those different forms of government reach or take you to two very disparate ends. One will take you towards liberty, and there never has been a government so divinely designed to entrench liberty as our constitutional republic. Now, I will say that Moses, in creating the government for Israel as they left Egypt, was also divinely inspired, but that was only for the people of Egypt. In America, the government that we created was for the world, or I should say the government that the Lord designed was for the world. Unlike Moses's laws and Moses's form of government with judges and everything else, that was only for Israel. That was how Israel was to govern themselves. 400 years later, Israel became corrupt and they surrendered themselves to the archaic design and concept of kings and monarchies. Now, when we look at the scale of liberty, we're going to talk about the different degrees and so forth, but what I really want to cover today are the two stark paradigms and how you will have the agency to either surrender or take a stand. If you surrender, your agency will be, in what you will see, will be stripped of you. You will always have agency, and the agency will be basically, once it's stripped, it'll come down to this. Either do it or die, because that's what will happen. The consequences that you are being moved into will be that dire. And so we're going to give you the paradigms. And so let me just kind of dive forward with those things that I usually dive forward into. As you know, this show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. You are listening to the only show with the academic evidence and the academic-based evidence solutions, or however to say that. You know what I mean. We do not pull punches here. Everything that I talk about is irrefutable. You have the ability to get engaged. You have the right to be able to get engaged. And I just want you to understand that the things that the Lord gave us in the Constitution will actually work. The First Amendment petitions, the common law grand jury, and the militia. We have the ability, one, to defend ourselves legally. And if we don't start, they will actually start picking us off. And if we actually act like sheep, the court systems and everything else will work against us. We've got to take a stand, folks. And I think you're going to get what I believe is that better picture as we start moving forward. This election is far more critical than anybody would have ever thought. Even I didn't think that the 2020 election, I thought the 2024 election was going to be critical. Nobody saw that they were going to ram this. I didn't see this fact. And had I saw the documents that they were going to do this, that the World Bank or the International Monetary Fund, the IMF, had I known that they had a bond that was going to expire this year, that we would be forced into a pandemic so that they could save $1 billion or $500 million, whatever that was, and that the Rockefellers were planning on doing just this? Well, it seems like they even knew. It's almost like things are happening by the numbers. So the question, I don't know where Trump really is, but Trump, if you're not communicating to him, you need to, and you need to then start understanding why he's not responding or why they're not doing what they're doing. Don't buy the fact and don't believe that he was a godsend. I believe God is in charge, but I believe God will only bless us if we act. He blessed the framers because they acted, and we have to understand that. I also do not want you to hesitate. I don't want you to wait to get your community organized. You must resolve to defend your property and your family, and in so doing, you must resolve to defend the Constitution and your liberties. One of the things you also need to do, as I said yesterday, and basically the message all week, you need to start exercising your First Amendment right of petition for the redress of grievances, demanding that your state and local politicians be held accountable to their oath, charge them with treason, and demand that they convene common law grand juries. Now, if you happen to be in a county where you've got a corrupt, like I do, Ozzie Knezovich is a corrupt sheriff. He is not going to convene a common law grand jury. So you have to work in a different county. And actually, I don't live in Ozzie Knezovich's, but the fact of the matter is you have to start demanding that your sheriff actually take a stand. And if your sheriff has any hesitations, then you need to make him aware of the consequences of his failure to support the Constitution. Do not expect to be reelected in 2 years. And our sheriff is coming up for election in 2 years. We need to start sending these very succinct and very focused messages to your local politicians. They should know you. If they don't know you by name, if they don't know you, make sure they get to know you. That's how we will do this. Now, one of the things I haven't said in a long time, and I want to make sure I take a quick second here, is I want to thank you for listening. The only way we're going to start turning things around is by getting you and others involved. And so this is where kind of, thank you for tuning in, but we also need you to get others to start tuning in as well. This is kind of the listener drive, the the cheerleading of, we actually have the solutions. The Lord gave us these things. If anybody studied this stuff, they would come up with these three tools that we have to, one, defend ourselves and to take our liberty back. And as people start getting educated and they start realizing what the truth is, we're going to be able to convert both of the layman as well as some of these kids. I was talking to Kim Kennedy in Pennsylvania earlier, and she's the one that had her car damaged by a radical. And as you start looking at what has happened and why these kids are godless and why these kids are the way they are, is because they've been lied to. And if you remember your childhood, how you were rebellious about, the system and the people, the progressives have convinced your children that your family, you the parents, are the establishment, and they have to tear you apart. They have to tear society apart by the seams so that we can build over and build a better society. They believe this crap. And so you need to convince them. You need to work very hard in getting your children to realize that it's love and the family bond that is the building block of society, of a civil society. And that going down this path is we are heading down a path to ruin and destruction. So please, if you have any like-minded friends out there, if you know anybody that is, you know, begging to get themselves involved with a real solution, getting them to fight the fight, something that's going to be tangible. I can understand how there are so many people that are apathetic just because the Tea Party didn't pan out to be the next greatest thing to slice bread. It failed. Now, there were some things that kind of helped people, but the principles, the underlying principles were there. That's what drew people there. They just didn't have a solution. They didn't have a real goal. The real goal is compliance, demanding full compliance to the Constitution and using the tools that we have in getting and obtaining that compliance and then moving forward in maintaining full compliance to the Constitution. You know, for the longest time, people have been violating the laws and they haven't even realized that. They believe that they're doing everything legitimately that they can, and they're getting away with this, and now it's time we hold them accountable. We'll be right back after these promos. Thank you so much.
Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. The show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their Constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
So why is the scale of liberty so important? Because as we as a society moved along after the establishment of the Constitution, we really didn't understand. And what ended up happening is we started to shift our accountability and responsibility more and more to government. And in doing this, we have shifted our liberty to government. Now, if anybody is familiar with Alexis de Tocqueville's Democracy in America, Alexis de Tocqueville proves and provides the insights in his journey through America. He points out some very interesting facts, but the most important thing is that he recognizes that America, with this new government, this new central government, it had hardly any laws. As a matter of fact, even the local state governments, they had some moral laws. They had some like blue laws, laws against prostitution, laws against drunken behavior, some morality laws, somewhat. But for the most part, the laws on the books, and as Stossel points out in his old shows, I don't know what happened to his shows, but I know Stossel used to show the differences between the registry of laws and rules and statutes that the federal government has created since the 1800s, actually since the Depression. Fact of the matter is, my friends, that if you look at the types of laws that were on the books at the very beginning of this constitutional republic, we didn't have a lot of laws. And we didn't have a lot of crime, you know, in percentages and everything else. What was going on? Why were we so free and yet so governed? Because Alexis de Tocqueville pointed out that America is great because America is good. We were being governed by our religious faith and our churches. The churches were the ones that basically kept us in check. People were afraid of losing their reputation and their honor by committing some, you know, travesty or some type of sin that would have, you know, you lose your honor and your reputation in your community. We were governed, and the church's role and the role of religion in America was integral to the behavior. If you understand, and these are all tenets of Christianity. If you understand Christianity is about liberty. You cannot force or compel anybody. You can't use laws and ultimatums in saving somebody. We all have to do this for ourselves. We all have to take his name. We all have to follow him. We all have to be compassionate. You have to do all of these things willingly. If you believe that somebody needs to be forced to behave well, then you are stripping them of their liberty by creating the laws and the mandates in their behavior. So we've lost this, but we had a society that was, I will just say, white, literally white on the scale of liberty, because nobody was compelled to do anything that they shouldn't do. Nobody was forced into any form of behavior. And so one of the things that I do, and I want to just get this out of the way, because this is what we are facing. If you understand the opposite end of the scale of liberty, it is subjugation, it is force, it is compulsion. And so, and this is why I go through this, but one of the things I go through this discussion on the scale of liberty with you is to help you understand the two sides of the extreme. That on the side of liberty, Christ wants everybody to choose for themselves what they should do. Just like good old-fashioned America as it was designed. Now, as we look at America today, we're being forced and compelled to pay taxes for welfare purposes. We have accepted the compulsion of so many evil things that it's, in a way, we're already culpable and we're already willingly giving up our liberties because we continually and have continually allowed, well, it's not doing anything wrong or hard to me now. I mean, I'm not being harmed now. Yeah, you have been. Yes, we have been, because it has been slowly ratcheting. It has been slowly moving and progressing down this path. And so on the hard end of this, or the far end, the opposite end of this, the diametrically opposing concept of liberty, as I said, is subjugation. These people are wired to force you, or actually anything necessary justifies their ends. If they have to kill you, that's no problem. This is why the communist revolutions always end in mass bloodshed. Always. Because they know that there are people that will oppose them. This is why I told you that the framers, and in America, we didn't kill the loyalists. We shipped them off to live and to take their paradigms to the countries that embrace that paradigm. And this is why what we're doing is so important. Now, Billy Graham read a letter. Now, so I have two things I want to read to you today. I want to read this letter that Billy Graham read in his North Carolina church, where he was basically reading this letter that was a, it was kind of like a termination of an engagement from the fiance of two students. A young man left to go to Mexico, and in so doing, he hooked up with these communists in Mexico. And I want to say this was like in the mid-20th century. Now, he sends this letter basically saying, hey, I don't love you, and I don't want to get married with you, and this is how I feel, and this is how I think, and you need to understand this. So that, and maybe it was a hope that she too would see the light of communism, see what the truth of communism is. So I have this one letter that speaks out regarding their paradigm of subjugating the world and what they're willing to do. This is how hardwired they are. This other letter I have, I received from and I'll call him a friend. He was a candidate running for office in Wyoming, and he lost because, and a few of these people lost because, actually, I don't think he lost because of this, but there are a few of the people that we were supporting lost because there was another person that stepped into the ring to compete and to basically fractionalize the conservative vote of the district, these legislative districts for the state of Wyoming. They split them because what they did was they got somebody else to run. And at that point in time, they split the vote, and the Rhino, the Democrat, actually won again. Now, we won more campaigns this year in Wyoming than we ever have, and we've only been at this for 2 years. So that should give you a good sampling of what needs to happen. What you need to do, and we will talk about this regarding the Republican Party, what you need to do is you need to start forming a committee in your county office or in your county central committee. You need to form a subcommittee for Republic Review so that people can actually start learning and understanding what needs to be done. This is what Wyoming has done at the state level. And now we've got almost membership from every county. We have multiple members from counties, of the same counties and so forth. But we do have representatives that can now go and speak and teach to those good people at the county level. And so we've got some very good conversations coming up, and we'll talk about all of that, because at the party level, if you are not having the honest conversation of saying, hey, it looks like this person's going to win the seat coming up in November, and we know this person does not represent our values, so what are we going to do about it? Okay, well, then you have to basically, as a party, send a notice to this guy after he wins his election. Well, congratulations, you won. However, as the party goes in the district that you just won, we oppose you and we are now working ardently. Actually, what you may want to do is you may want to say, these are the steps we want you to take and these are the things we expect you to do. Excuse me. But what you do want to do is you want to start prepping and you want to get somebody prepared so that in the following year, when that person does exactly what they do, leopards don't change their stops, their spots. The rhinos are going to continually poke the bubbles and poke them and burst the balloons of what the conservatives are trying to do within the House. And so what you do in their last year, I told you this before, you send them a warning notice that they will not have the support of the county, that you've already identified their challenger, and this is how you'll be moving forward. And in other words, it's time for a wake-up call because you have failed to do our bidding. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay, so what we have is we have this paradigm of the communist. And what I received from this friend of mine in Wyoming was a paradigm of a... what's the best way to put it? A Christian that is resolved in doing what's right. And I want you to understand the difference in the paradigms. So this is the Billy Graham letter, and this is basically what he says. And the reason he's reading this is he's basically calling out his church friends about their resolve, about their commitment to Christ. But anyway, the letter starts off with this. We communists have a high casualty rate. We're the ones who get shot and hanged and lynched and tarred and feathered and jailed and slandered. Now, if you look today, that's not happening because they have gained enough ground within our society that they believe they can get away with their insurrection acts. Now, they realize that they are going to be suffering some casualties, but they're getting away with murder. and this is being proven. We communists don't have the time or money for any movies or concerts or T-bone steaks or decent homes and new cars. This is why, and I'm breaking away from this, this is why these communists sit in their parents' basement. These communists are living off of their parents and they're living off of the government by receiving welfare and all the different entitlements so that they can continually go out and protest. Some of these folks, because it's clearly, it's in the news that teachers, young teachers are out there promoting their communist views. They're out there protesting. They're out there actually violating the laws. These protests are violations of the law, and they're going even further than just civil disobedience. They're doing damage. They're actually burning and doing property damage. And so, I mean, these people are committing numerous crimes. They're lawless. And it doesn't matter. The ends justify their means, as I've told you this time and time again. Going back to the letter, this communist describes himself as saying, "We've been described as fanatics. We are fanatics. Our lives are dominated by one great overshadowing factor, the struggle for world communism. I want you to understand, socialism is not their end goal. Socialism is a transition, getting people used to the state dictating everything until they've assumed full controls, and then they kill everybody and use their iron fist of tyranny. Now, in some communist revolutions, if communism takes over, like in the Khmer Rouge, I mean, that was a very quick flip from going from their existing tribal or quasi-monarchical, you know, society and government, straight flipping over to a communist revolution. Boy, the Khmer Rouge, they instantly grabbed everybody who was educated. Go watch the Killing Fields. Read about the Killing Fields. This is how dramatic communism is. But what they don't want to do is they don't want the frog to jump out of the hot water. And we're almost at boil, friends. I hope you're recognizing that this isn't just hyperbole I'm giving you. I am trying to give you the facts to help educate you so that you can use this knowledge as power. Power doesn't come from knowledge until knowledge is being exerted, acted upon. So we are fanatics. This is back to the letter. Our lives are dominated by one great overshadowing factor, the struggle for world communism. We subordinate our petty personal selves into a great movement of humanity. And if our personal lives seem hard, or our egos appear to suffer through subordination to the party, then we are adequately compensated by the thought that each of us in his small way is contributing something new and true and better for mankind. They really believe that what they're doing is for the betterment of mankind. Seriously, folks, this is how they're wired. There is one thing in which I am dead earnest, and that is the communist cause. It is my life, my business, my religion, my hobby, my sweetheart, my wife and mistress, my bread and meat. I work at it in the daytime and dream of it at night. Its hold on me grows, not lessens, as time goes on. Therefore, I cannot carry on a friendship, a love affair, or even a conversation without relating to this force which both drives and guides my life. I evaluate people, books, ideas, and actions according to how they affect the communist cause and by their attitude toward it. I've already been in jail because of my ideas, and if necessary, I am ready to go before a firing squad. Now, I will tell you that this young man used a lot of hyperbole. I will also tell you that young kids, when they recognize that there is a fight or a conflict, a lot of them recoil and they run. This is because they really don't have the hardened discipline of military life. This is why we're supposed to have a militia and why we're supposed to constantly practice in defending liberty, so that we do have the discipline in doing this. We're kind of caught with our pants down, if you understand what I'm saying, because we're now at a point as a society where people don't understand the disciplines of militias, the disciplines of defending your honor, your property, your family, and your liberty. So I can't emphasize enough why you need to at least start having these conversations so you'll be a little more prepared in defending. And what we're asking you to do, what we're telling you that the communists, not the communists, sorry, what we're telling you is that the Constitution demands that you defend it. We're not, it doesn't demand that you attack others like the communists have to do. They have to attack you. They have to try to convince you to surrender so they can force you. And once you've surrendered to the force, this is where the killing fields kick in. This is where they take people off and they kill them in their revolution cycle. So anyway, now let me get to that letter that Taylor Allred sent me. And actually, he just posted it on Facebook. So I know that there are, you know, when people write, there's copyrights and so forth. But when you write in the public domain, those things can be redone. And I don't want to withhold the contribution to who wrote this, but I don't have that person's permission to mention their name, because I understand some people have a sensitivity. They may not want to be called out. So once I absolutely receive and obtain that, then I will identify who the author of this is. But this author responded to a meme that they received from the friend. And this is what the meme stated. If you've covenanted with God to stand as a witness of God, then you cannot, in the same breath, steal agency from others. Quote, close quote. And so this individual then basically wrote this. I was absolutely floored last night when my friend posted this meme on Facebook. It reflected what my spirit had been pinging me about. Now, I've been telling you that socialism and communism is all about compulsion and force. I'm hoping I can get through this, but if I can't, it's important enough to reflect what this person has stated, because this person is articulating what I've been telling you in a different way. And I'm hoping this helps you realize the paradigm of liberty. If my political shares are a bit too much to take, consider my personal history. I was gaslit for over 20 years. Having cleared myself from that toxic relationship and reclaimed my body and spirit and soul, I have a super sense for being gaslit again. I blister and protest vehemently over psychological coercion. If you ever wonder to yourself how a woman stays in an abusive relationship and claim that yourself wouldn't tolerate it while you are also applying social pressure on others to conform and comply with governmental overreach, you might need a mirror. To me, based on my life's experience, and we're going into a break. So we're going to pick it right back up right there when we come back. This is about 3 pages, so I'm hoping I can get through this. If not, we will finish this tomorrow, because everything that this woman says, I believe, is something that you need to use for reflection on how important it is to take a stand, defend your position, and never surrender. Do not allow yourself to be compelled. We'll be right back.
I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our republic. Again, please take a look at my content on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Okay, so let's see if we can finish up this, but I don't want to gloss over this. I want you to understand the difference in the paradigm of somebody that is fighting and on the offensive and somebody that is defending everybody. A defensive is trying to seize and subjugate, and the paradigm of subjugation is just that. Seize and force. It's very offensive. It is very, I think you get my point. What I'm trying to say is that those who are on the side of the dark side of liberty, those who oppose liberty, they consider themselves your enemy. They have to destroy you or do whatever's necessary to compel you. And that's what that letter that Billy Graham read actually kind of indicates and proves. So back to this letter from an unnamed source. To me, based on my life's experience, the scenarios are identical. There is an abuser who exerts psychological control over a target. The target accepts it by degrees, believing the abuser that it isn't so bad until the abuser even goes so far as to assert that the target actually likes the abuse. The target grows accustomed to the narrative and indeed even becomes to accept the abuse and its accompanying narrative to the point that the target invites even greater abuse from the controller. That's how I see all of this that's happening in our world. I don't see a conspiracy theories. I see facts. I would rather die from what is being upheld as threatening or scary than to cower before it. I learned by experience that there are lots worse things than dying. If your experience hasn't taught you that yet, and you're wringing your hands over the looming shadow of death, then you'll take your turn. It's a lesson of mortality. As Patrick Henry said, quote, "Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. There are lots worse things than dying, lots. Death is the last thing I'm afraid of. Losing a loved one to this virus or next, one concerns me far less than losing any one of them or you to the propaganda machine that has you surrendering your agency in the name of keeping your health. By all means, do all that lies in your power to keep your health, but do not mistake that for my giving you consent to rob me of doing all that I feel in my heart is best for my personal health. Our forebears gave their lives for our right to live free and to pursue happiness. It is not the government's job to protect our health. Every consent given to the government to control your movement or associations, your rights of worship and voting, and even your right of breath free is consent you can never take back. There is no sin in social distancing if you choose it. There is no sin in masking if you choose it. There is no sin in casting absentee ballots if you choose it. There is no sin in self-quarantine if you choose it. But it is very truly a sin to coerce those behaviors through psychological manipulation, including gaslighting, social pressure, and self-righteous posturing. It is a sin, and I call it out. If you've covenanted with God to stand as a witness of God, then you cannot, in the same breath, steal agency from others. Yes, you may freely surrender your own, but your power stops there. Christ did not die so we could rob one another of agency and its mockery of his blood to assert that only his true followers fall into lockstep with the rhetoric. If you want to know who is in control, it's the one you're not allowed to disagree with. The world is in commotion. Yes, men's hearts are failing. Evil is calling good good, and good is calling good evil. Or actually, the language here. Evil is called good. Good is called evil. I have no illusions that I will find and widespread disagreement with my position, but I know my own mind and heart. Here I plant my foot. I respect opinions that differ, but I do not yield my position. I came to this earth to use my agency and my body to learn and know and do the will of God, and to prove my faith in Jesus Christ in all things. I know when I am being manipulated, and I refuse to be that victim again. I do not need any relationship more than I need to know. I can answer with a clear conscience before God that I did His will with my whole heart, mind, and soul. I see the eternal perspective in this entire pandemic. If you know me for as long as I've always operated from that place, I've always stood in the place that seeks to see how the current this relates to eternity and the promises I've made and God's plan of happiness for His children. For eternity, Satan has sought to control us by removing our free will, by persuading us to surrender it to Him, and by attacking our bodies, a gift He has chosen with eternal finality to never receive. In this pandemic, both premortal doctrines are laid down to see. This is a fight for control of our bodies and minds. Your disagreeing with it doesn't make it untrue. The players for each side of the question have taken their sides. I stand on the side of Christ. To use what I know, the promises I have made with him, the free will he has given me, and the body he has saved from eternal life, or from eternal death, I mean. I'm sorry. I stand for liberty by which he has made me free. True disciples do not press for mandates of any kind, nor shame or vilify anyone for their personal best use of their agency. Agency is an eternal law. Eternal. That means God himself will not take it from us. What emboldens some to feel justified in stripping it from their friends or neighbors or countrymen. If your position is right in your mind, then state it clearly and live it without hypocrisy. Let your example be your testimony and witness that if that isn't enough to win people to your way of thinking, so be it. Even the master teacher didn't win every heart. If force, whether by unconstitutional government mandate or merely by social or commercial pressure, is the only way to have widespread compliance to your preferred mindset, then recognize that your discipleship is not with Christ. He will never force human mind. And as I've said, I have told you time and time again that liberty would never force a person into compassion. Liberty does not force. And Christ's foundation, his gospel, his teachings, the bedrock of his teachings is liberty, that you must willingly follow him. You must willingly give of yourself. You must willingly take his name. Anyone who asserts force and compulsion for you to do the bidding or for you to behave a very particular way is the opposite of liberty. It is subjugation. And the mind model that I read that Billy Graham had provided to his congregation a long time ago, that was 50 years ago, 60 years ago. My friends, or actually 55 probably, just to be accurate, but my friends, the fact of the matter lies that the differences are stark between subjugation and between liberty. If you believe in liberty, you must defend it. You must take a stand and say, you will not force me. I understand. Even I, in this position of what I am doing, when you see me wearing a mask in public, I want you to understand that I'm not fighting the little battle there. I am fighting the big battle. And I would ask you not to wear a mask. I would ask you to use your civil disobedience. I have to travel. I have to do things, and I have to get this message out. Not that I am complying. I acknowledge that I am being forced, and I do not accept these things, but I must get this message out. As you understand, the message is very critical, and that's why I've told you it's not about me. It is about the message and the truth. We will be back. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and Republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.